If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
All right, so you know how sometimes you hear about those neighbors, the ones who make you go, oh man, I would not want to live next to them.
Yeah, like the ones who leave their trash cans out just a little too long.
Or who blast polka music at 3 a.m.
Yeah, those are classic.
Well, the story we're diving into today makes those neighborly annoyances look like a walk in the park.
Oh, they're bad, huh?
Buckle up, because we're about to unpack a case that was sent to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. And it is a wild ride. Like, seriously, I had to sleep with the lights on after reading this one.
Okay, now you've got me intrigued. What's the deal with this nightmare neighbor? Did they have, like, a pet elephant that kept trampling their prize-winning tulips or something?
Not quite an elephant, but, you know, we'll get there. What's so fascinating about these cases, and this one in particular, is how easily those everyday disagreements, you know, the stuff we've all dealt with, can spiral into something so much darker.
It's true. It's like that whole good fences make good neighbors saying exists for a reason.
Right. We crave those boundaries, that sense of control over our own little domains. But when those lines get blurred, things can get messy fast.
Especially when you're talking about your home, which is supposed to be your sanctuary.
Exactly. And that brings us to our story. Our narrator and their partner, Mark, they've just moved into what they think is their dream home. This nice trailer in Philly. They're excited for a fresh start. Even brought their two well-behaved dogs along.
Sounds pretty idyllic so far. What could go wrong?
Well, you know how it goes, right? Just as they're settling in, those little cracks start to appear.
The classic calm before the storm.
Exactly. At first, it's just those everyday annoyances, like, who hasn't lived below a family with young kids? Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. The constant thundering of tiny feet.
Exactly. And the narrator even mentions these loud, almost constant arguments coming from the family downstairs, which, you know, kind of became the soundtrack to their lives.
Just part of the background noise until it's not.
And that's where Mr. Thompson enters the picture.
Ah, Mr. Thompson. I'm sensing he's not here to borrow a cup of sugar.
Nope, not quite. See, at first, the narrator describes him as just there. Like, he's always watching their dogs playing in the yard, kind of lurking in the background, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting some creepy vibes already.
And then, boom, there's this sudden aggressive outburst, and it's all directed at the dogs. It's like a switch flips. And suddenly, Mr. Thompson goes from being an annoying presence to a full-blown threat.
It's amazing how quickly that can happen, how one incident can completely change the dynamic.
Right. It's like he was just waiting for a reason to, like, unleash. And unfortunately, the dogs, just being dogs, became his target.
So, like, what kind of outburst are we talking about here? Was he yelling at the dogs, threatening them?
I don't want to spoil too much, but let's just say it was enough to make it clear that this wasn't just a grumpy old man having a bad day. This was something different, something a bit more sinister. And that's where things start to get really interesting, psychologically speaking. What is it about these neighbor disputes that can bring out these, well, let's call them extreme reactions in people?
That's a great question. Like, we've all been annoyed by a neighbor, but most of us don't resort to, well, whatever Mr. Thompson did. So what's going on there?
Right. It's a bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to what we were saying about our homes being our safe spaces, our sanctuaries.
Yeah. And when that space feels invaded, whether it's actual noise or just the perceived threat of it, it can trigger this primal need to protect what we see as ours.
It's like this deep-seated territoriality, like, this is my domain and you will respect it.
Exactly. And the problem with neighbor disputes is that those boundaries, those lines in the sand, are often a bit blurry, you know? You're forced into this weird proximity where you're sharing walls, yards, even just breathing the same air.
Right. And it's the stuff you can't always control. Hmm. Like, you can't help if your kid has a meltdown at the grocery store, or if your dog barks at the mailman, or if...
Or if your downstairs neighbors decide to have a, shall we say, spirited discussion at 2 in the morning.
Exactly. And unfortunately, sometimes those everyday annoyances can become the catalyst for something much bigger, something much more volatile.
And in this case, it seems like Mr. Thompson was a powder keg just waiting for a spark.
And man, that powder keg, it really blows. Because that whole dog incident, that was just the beginning. Like, the first shot fired in a long, drawn-out siege.
It's true. Those early warning signs, they can be easy to dismiss, but once that line is crossed, it's hard to go back. And in this case, it seems like Mr. Thompson, he took that outburst as a green light.
Oh, absolutely. The narrator, they start describing all this stuff, like constant shouting matches, threats, even Mr. Thompson just like lurking around every corner, watching their every move. It's like something out of a Hitchcock movie, you know?
Yeah, that feeling of being constantly watched. It's straight out of a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key part of what makes this story so unsettling, right? It taps into this primal fear of the unknown, of someone invading our personal space, our sense of safety.
It's like that whole fight or flight response kicking in, but it's constant. Like, your body's on high alert 24/7.
Yeah.
And what's even crazier is that the narrator and Mark, they try everything to de-escalate the situation. They leave polite notes. They even try to get the building manager involved.
What happens?
It's like trying to reason with, like a rabid badger or something. It just backfires. Yep. Spectacularly. Every single time.
That's often the case with these types of situations. People underestimate how difficult it can be to get someone to acknowledge their behavior, let alone change it, especially if they're convinced they're in the right.
Right. It's their word against yours. And when you're living in such close quarters, it can feel like there's no escape.
Exactly. And it can be incredibly isolating for the victim. Like, who do you turn to when the person you're supposed to feel safe with, your neighbor, is the one causing you harm?
Right. And it goes beyond just the verbal stuff, too. The narrator, they describe Mr. Thompson flashing his car lights at them, constantly recording their movements. Like, at what point does it cross the line from annoying to just plain creepy?
I think it's safe to say it crossed that line a while back. He's actively trying to intimidate them at this point to make them feel uncomfortable in their own home.
Exactly. And just when you think it can't get any weirder, any more intense, Mr. Thompson, he brings in reinforcements. Enter his friend, Frank.
Oh boy, this is where it gets really interesting.
Right. Like, Mr. Thompson needed backup for his one-man reign of terror. And Frank, he does not disappoint. This guy, he's like Mr. Thompson's muscle, always lurking around with a spiked baseball bat. I mean, come on.
Not exactly subtle, is he?
Not at all. I mean, what's he going to do with a spiked baseball bat? Threaten the poor dog with it. It's just unsettling. And it gets worse. The really sad part is that this whole thing, it starts to impact not just the narrator and Mark, but the entire community.
That's one of the insidious things about these situations, how they can poison the well for everyone involved.
Exactly. Hmm. The narrator, they mention how other neighbors, people who are initially friendly, they start to withdraw, afraid of becoming collateral damage in Mr. Thompson's little war. And then the kids, you know, look to live downstairs. And even some of the other kids in the community, they're constantly exposed to this tension, this aggression. It's just, it's heartbreaking.
It really is. And it speaks to this broader question of community, doesn't it? Like, at what point do we as individuals, as neighbors, have a responsibility to step in, to say, hey, this isn't okay.
Right. Where's that line between minding your own business and standing up for what's right, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it might put you in the line of fire?
It's a tough question, and unfortunately, there's no easy answer. But in this case, the lack of action, the silence from those who witnessed what was happening, it speaks volumes.
I mean, it makes you wonder, like, what would it take for someone to step in? You'd hope that seeing this kind of behavior, especially directed at a neighbor, would be enough to make people speak up, right?
Right, you'd hope so. But the unfortunate reality is that these situations are often more complicated than they appear. People might be afraid of retaliation, or they might convince themselves that it's not their place to get involved.
Yeah, the whole not my circus, not my monkeys mentality.
Exactly. But what we have to remember is that our silence, our inaction, it has consequences. It allows this kind of behavior to continue unchecked, and it sends a message to the victim that they're on their own.
It's like we were saying earlier, the bystander effect in action. And you can really see the toll this whole thing takes on the narrator. It's not just about the actual harassment, but the constant fear, the anxiety, the feeling of being unsafe in your own home.
Absolutely. The psychological impact of this kind of experience can be profound. Imagine constantly looking over your shoulder, wondering when the next shoe is going to drop. It's exhausting, and over time, it can really wear you down.
It's like a constant state of fight or flight, except there's no escape. You're trapped, literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. And you know what really gets me? The story, it just ends. Like, we don't get a neat resolution, no grand finale, where Mr. Thompson sees the error of his ways and everyone lives happily ever after.
And unfortunately, that's often the reality of these situations. There isn't always a satisfying conclusion, no clear-cut victory. And I think that's what makes this story so important, so relatable, even though it's so unsettling.
Because it could happen to anyone.
Right, exactly. It reminds us that these things don't just happen in dark alleys or on TV shows. They can happen in our own neighborhoods, to people we know, even to ourselves.
It's a good reminder that we need to be vigilant. Not just for ourselves, but for our communities as well.
Absolutely. We need to be willing to speak up, to support those who are being targeted, and to create a culture where this kind of behavior isn't tolerated.
Well said. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. But before we go, I want to hear from you, our listeners. If you were in the narrator's shoes, what would you do? Head over to our social media, use the hashtag, #NightmareNextDoor, and let's keep this conversation going. Remember, you're not alone. And there are resources available if you or someone you know is dealing with a nightmare neighbor. Until next time, stay safe, stay vigilant, and remember, good fences make good neighbors.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.